Hello, dearest friends, and welcome back to another Messages for Humanity vodcast. And today we are with Lalita Karoli, a galactic shamaness astrologer, who I met online, I would say, about 6 weeks ago. And this lady just socked it to me in complete, direct, outspoken clarity. And ever since that time, I have not been the same. And that is why I have welcomed her on these Messages for Humanity, because she has one heck of a message for us today. So I'd like to just go straight over to her and present the stage, so to speak. Hey, Lalita, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I was looking right in your eyes while you were saying that, and I appreciate that introduction. Something that my mother has said to me recently is, be careful what you say, Lalita, because you may be interpreted as causing this because of your accuracy. And this coming from my mother was important to me because she has watched me for the 50 years of my life on Earth. And she watched me as a child where I would receive messages that I didn't know other people were not capable of receiving. And I could see beings and I could watch particularly an animal that had just passed would also come into my room. And I helped to move souls. And that was when I was a little girl. And my mother would immediately get on the phone and say, has so-and-so just passed? Because my given name was Laura. Laura just saw this being upstairs. And when I was a little girl, my mother asked me to stop doing that, to stop seeing, to stop interpreting that other world. So when my mother recently gave me that advice, I thought, oh my gosh, how many lifetimes have I lived this same oracular knowledge that nobody wants to hear? And so what I would invite people to do, because this will be a brief meeting, but please look at the blog that I have at galacticshamanastrologers.net, and you can read a full year of information from the stars that I was receiving. And when I first started posting this a year ago, when I put up the website, people really did not want to hear that. And yet now people are saying to me, wow, you said the hospitals would be shut down. You said the market would crash. You said the limits of power had been reached. You said the end of the structures was here. And many of them thanked me because they were considering certain things and they made different choices. Now, when you have this type of oracular knowledge and then also access to the star knowledge, It is a difficult role, and I often cry a lot because I don't want to know this. And I'm sure some of the viewers listening today are also receiving, and they don't want to know this. But what we have reached with the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, and it wasn't just a regular Saturn-Pluto conjunction, it was Saturn, Pluto, and the Great Mother Ceres, the Great Mother Demeter, Chariclo, Mercury, and the Sun, all conjoined at 1 degree, which the Sabian symbol was the defeat of nations leads to a greater spiritual truth. So when those many planets all came together at exactly that degree, the defeat of nations leads to a greater spiritual truth. We knew that some change was going to happen, and the limits of power were reached for humanity. Not for the plants and the animals, not for the fairies and the elementals, but for humanity. The stars were speaking. Mm-hmm. And so now what we see is we see an unfolding of that. And there are many players, and I'm going to speak about some of those players. Because Lucifer was at the node and was present for the eclipse on December 25th and 26th, we're seeing the ultimate testing of humanity right now and its ability to really look at God's favorite angel. Mm. And not look away. God's most beloved angel, who took the ultimate fall. And to look at that and see how we are complicit with and very much engage with that shadow of God. So what I said before this session was, I was going to point at least three things out that we are doing right now. One is that the United States is the biggest user of nuclear energy. And the France is the second biggest user.
Yeah.
So right now I am engaging in fission of the splitting of the life force of the atom. Mm. I am, in order to speak to you right now.
Mm.
And I am using the internet, which causes radiation to all the little plants and seedlings that I have in this room. Mm. So I am using the internet to create these electromagnetic frequencies that may be harming the plants. And I am using a software program on a personal computer that representative, who may be also representative of that Luciferian force of technology, created. I am doing that. And where we are today is Venus's stationing for her descent at a very important star called Alnilam, which is the center of the Orion constellation. In my star knowledge, Orion holds the duality templates. We have the duality which constitutes the malevolent energy and the duality that is the benevolent energy. And Almalam's just at the center there. And Almalam requires us to come back to the oneness, to realize that we are both this and we are both this. So the video that I made for this session is called I Am Guilty Too, Inanna's Descent. And I would encourage people to watch I Am Guilty Too,
yeah,
at Lalita Karoli YouTube channel. And I would encourage all of us during this 40 days of descent to look at that and not look away.
Mm.
Because when we look at it, Lucifer is actually the gatekeeper to our evolution. So in tantric practices, it is those Luciferian forces that if you look at them and don't look away, they are frequency barriers, like a fence, that if you look at it and find yourself as part of that, you can go through that gate.
Mm.
But if we keep looking away and say that I don't have any guilt, that I have not participated, that I am not complicit, then we continue to need to descend further and further and further into the abyss. So this is key right now for humanity, because what I see coming in the stars is a continuation of that descent to our very survival will be questioned this year. And people can watch some of those videos from the Galactic Shaman Astrologers at Lalita Karoli also. But what's important for us is to fully embrace that. And then I think one of the tools that I may give or you may give at some point is called the Tonglen meditation. It's the lion's roar. And it is basically the inhalation of whatever that pain is, or whatever that hatred is, or whatever that feeling of the other who is violating me, to inhale that into your body from the crown of their head into your body, and then exhale compassion and love and oneness. So whatever is coming up for humanity during this time of needing to have a scapegoat to escape the pain that is on the planet right now, to make it someone else's fault, I would say visualize that being who you are giving every bit of your hatred to, and inhale the fact that they played this role for you. Okay. Now, the next piece that I wanted to speak about today is the soul's choice, and perhaps the story of Persephone, because it seems to me that Persephone is really the story of this age. So in astrology, I was able to see that I had chosen the deepest descent with Persephone in my first house, and also Proserpina, which is another name for Persephone. And I could see the exact timing and the exact names of the people who would die and the people who would be the perpetrators in my life. And when I saw that, I started to question, because Demetra George was my teacher at the time, did I deserve the descent? Did I deserve this underworld experience? Why did this happen to me? And she would very carefully direct me back and say, well, if this is in your birth chart, who did it to you? Because one of the things we as humanity may not understand is that there is nothing happening that we did not write. It was written before we came. And the perpetrators that we chose may be those beings who love us the most, including Lucifer. And when I did enough analysis of my own chart with the exact names, the dates, the locations even, which can be found in the 22,000 asteroids, a feeling that I was so disgusting that I would have chosen that descent would not leave me. Like, why would have I chosen that? And then the next piece for me was, I was sobbing and sobbing and sobbing that the person who was my perpetrator had done that for me. And that is a very hard place to get to. And I've spoken to my clients who have been part of human trafficking. I've spoken to my clients who have had, since they were child, rapes, incest, molestations. And I've asked them, would you want to know this? Would you want me to say this publicly? And some of them have said, you know, I don't know if it will help humankind. It could be too traumatizing. But what I would say is, if we can accept that perhaps we have done this descent and we have written this story, now we can write the ending. But if we stay in this idea that someone did it to me, that someone caused this to happen to me because I am a victim, then humanity will not be able to go through that frequency barrier that we're held in right now.
Yeah.
So there is much debate right now about whether the virus is real or not, or whether it was created to kill us. And I would say that from the stars all the way back to the 1500s, we can see every plague was at a time of a Saturn-Pluto conjunction. Every plague that killed nearly half of the population also had a Saturn-Pluto conjunction. And now that we have named asteroids, the Wuhan asteroid, which was named in 1980, was clearly traveling with Jupiter, Mars, and Pluto at the time of this current plague. So I would say this. All the beings who are playing right now are Creator's mind. And however this virus developed, let's be sure that it is part of Creator's mind.
Mm.
And so as it is written, the choice that we have, and I like the work that you've done with this, is to choose not to drink that poison anymore, but to choose our sovereignty, because that's the role that Lucifer plays.
Yeah.
Do you want poison? I'll give it to you. And we have to not look away from that poison, but know exactly what it is and our own participation in it, and then say, no, thank you. I will live this sovereign life over here now. And then that perpetrator, that being who we want to place the blame on, is actually our greatest gift. And is playing a quite difficult role, so he must be quite a high soul. So right now I think I'm going to pause and listen what you would like to say.
Well, the first thing I'd love to say is I have seen the I Am Guilty Too video. And I remember as I came to it, I had this feeling like of, oh, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be watching this. It felt like I was eavesdropping, that I'd snuck into a private room where you were speaking. But I was, it was such a strange energy. It was, I was mesmerized. I couldn't, as you say, turn away. And I'm like, whether I'm invited to be here or not, doesn't matter because I'm staying. I need to hear this through to the very end. So yes, go and please watch that video of I Am Guilty Too. I'm with you completely on everything you're saying, whether this virus is man-made, sent by the Dark Mother herself. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that it's here. I also heard from you a few weeks ago, because a whole load of us in Europe is like, yay, the restrictions are being lifted. Ours in France are being lifted a little bit, starting from Monday. So there's this great, yes, energy. But like you, I wonder, oh my God, should I say anything? Because I too am of the impression that there's going to be a second wave, a third wave, a fourth wave, until, as you say, we reach for something deeper. So I've been like forewarning my parents, like, hang in there, Mum and Dad. This is not the end yet. Just buckle up. We're on for a longer, much longer journey. And that is what I love about you, your directness, your clarity. I want to hear more. And I'd like to actually hear when this Venus, I'm not very good with astrology, when this moment is. I know we agreed to do this podcast just a few days before it actually happened. So back to you.
Yeah. So Venus is usually the love and beauty and flowers and jewels. She's creative romance. She inspires us to sing, our poetry, all things beauty. Mm. Right now, Venus is slowing down. So in the sky, she would be at the westernmost edge of the sky. So on April 27th, she was her brightest that she will be all year. So you can feel on April 27th, that was the brightest and best that Venus could feel all year on April 27th. Mm. So I noted that day and I posted something on Lalita Astrology, like notice how you feel right now, because this is the brightest and most creative and most romantic and most loving and most sensual and most tasty that we can feel this entire year.
Mm.
On April 27th.
Yeah.
So now Venus is slowing down within minutes of where she will station, where she will dip below the horizon on the western side. And she will be unseen for 40 days.
Right, right.
So when she is unseen, this is the oldest story of resurrection. She goes down to meet the Dark Sister. Now, the last time that this happened was October 5th of 2018. This year it will happen on May 13th.
Right.
In different signs. In Scorpio and October of 2018, I was walking the coastline, water, Scorpio, and the sea was red. So we had the red tide from the acidified ocean. And all that was coming up looked like blood to me. It was deep red, and there were like dead pieces of seaweed and sea life rolling into the shore. Mm. And when I was walking on the shore, the mammals of the sea were dead. So there were dead seals all along the coast of Maine. And there was also a mass viral epidemic of all mammals, so that there were hundreds of thousands of squirrels and other small mammals dead all over the coast of the sea and all over the roadway. So anyone who lives in the northeast on the Atlantic side saw this red sea. So I don't know what Venus will bring us in her descent of 40 days, but she will meet the Dark Sister. And when she does, she will cry the funeral lament and she will come to compassion, real compassion. Mm. And that is the only way for her to rise. Now, if people listen to the Inanna's Descent, I Am Guilty Too video, some of the Galactic Shaman Astrologers, which is a wonderful group that I work with, talk a little bit about what they're already feeling about that funeral lament. And in Gemini is our ability to communicate. So what I said to Anai when we first started was the internet, the grid, which upholds the nuclear power. Those are ruled by Gemini. And so I do have some concern that if the grid goes down, the nuclear power plants will not have anything to cool those fission processes. Mm. And people can make their own decisions about that and research that. But the whole of society includes technology. So as much as humanity is very worried about being microchipped and having a cashless society or all of those things, let me assure you, the limits of power have been reached. For technology, too. So we shall not be too distracted by people who are saying be microchipped and the world is going to be robot AI reality, because those limits of power have been reached.
Yeah.
So now I would really like to transition to the other asteroid that's in the sky right now, squaring Venus as she stations at this return to oneness, Alnilam. And that is Persephone. So Persephone used to be known as the destroyer, like Kali. Persephone, long ago, before Pluto ever existed, before Hades ever was the ruler of the underworld, Persephone was the great goddess of death. But at that time, she did not know the descent herself. So she decided to invent a myth so she would know the full extent of being dragged to the underworld. So the great goddess chose to fall. And Persephone's story is the story of this age. So Persephone has a mother named Demeter or Ceres, and she's the great goddess herself. And Persephone decided to incarnate as a beautiful young maiden who was able to enjoy all of nature that her mother provided.
Yeah.
She decided to enjoy the walks in the meadow and the birds singing. And she decided to enjoy all the little creatures and the chipmunks and the woodchucks and the rabbits. And she decided to enjoy the smell of the flowers, and she played with the sea nymphs, and she played with the fairies, and she played with the elementals. And she loved this experience of being incarnate. And her mother started to warn her, because she knew that her uncle had taken the role of the Dark Lord. And so her mother, Demeter, said, "Now, Persephone, be very careful. Don't go too close to the edge of the forest. Be careful. Dark things are there." And Persephone would go home at night, and she would get into her bed, and she would dream, "What are these dark things? What is this that my mother is worried about?" And she would dream at night of dark things that were under her bed. And she would shiver. She would say, "What if those dark things get me?" And in the morning, she would go out and she would put on her little dress, and she would go out and play again. And it was all beautiful, and it was sunshine, and the flowers smelled so good, and the sunshine warmed her body, and she would feel her sensual nature. She would feel those feelings of arousal and her sensuality. And she would frolic and play, and she was free, and the air was touching her, and the smells were deep and wonderful. And she would look to the edge of the forest, and she would say, "The dark things are out there. I wonder what they are." And that would be mixed with her feelings of sensuality. And then she would go back into her house, and her mother would look at her, and she knew, her mother knew that she was wondering about these dark things. And her mother would say, "Now, Persephone, be careful at the edge of the forest, my dear. Be careful. There are dark things. And you don't want to know those." And Persephone would go to bed at night, and she would be filled with the beauty of the day, and she would, her body was blossoming. She was 11 or 12 years old. She was feeling the wonder of being alive, and she would go, "Oh, but what about those dark things? What about those dark things? Maybe I should listen to Mother. I don't know." And the next day she would go out, and she was in her innocence playing with her friends. She heard the wind, and it sounded different. And she heard a rustling in the leaves at the edge of the forest. And she thought, "Oh my gosh, what if that's the dark things? What if that is the dark thing?" And she looked up, and a chariot was coming with two black horses breathing fire. Mm. And her body started to shake and tremble. And she said, "Oh, I think that is the dark thing." And she saw a big, very powerful man with black hair and blazing green eyes. And she said, "I don't know. Can I run? Should I run? Or should I know the dark thing?" And Hades came around, and he looked at her, because Zeus, her father, had given him permission to abduct her. But Hades waited, and he came and circled her again, and Persephone kept looking. And she did not run away. And she did not give consent, but her uncle grabbed her. He took her up into the chariot, and he took her into the underworld, deep down through the caves into the inner world, the inner world. And in the inner world, she saw the most horrible things. She thought, "No, this can't be part of the great goddess. This can't be part of the great goddess." And there were burned creatures held in barbed wire. There were smokestacks billowing smoke. There were locusts descending on millions of starving people. There were fires burning and fields flattened. There were little creatures lost, covered with soot, trying to cool off in swamps. There were nuclear power plants burning horrible radiation and splitting atoms. There were people in bed, coughing, unable to breathe, holding on to their beloved. And Persephone said, "This cannot be my mother's inner world. This cannot be my mother's inner world." And Hades laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and said, "Ah, but it is your mother's inner world. We are inside of the mind of the mother." Meanwhile, in the upper world, Ceres started wandering. She could not find her daughter. She knew something had happened. And she started wandering and screaming and yelling, going, "Where is Persephone? Where is she? Oh my gosh, my child has been abducted." And her mother was wandering and disassociating and feeling like she had been lost in the nightmare herself. She could not find her child. And as a result, the land started to wither. The snow started to fall upon the flowers and the trees. The strawberries were covered with deep snow. The leaves on the trees started to fall, and a cold, bitter wind began to blow as Ceres was wandering, looking for her daughter. Mm. Now, Persephone in the underworld was sure her mother had forgotten her, and that she was a victim of some terrible nightmare, and in fact, she was. She kept calling, "Mother, don't you know where I am? I'm with this monster. It's horrible down here." And her mother in the upper world could not hear her because Persephone was in the inner world that had not connected to the upper world. And so they did not know the other one was there. And so Persephone was trying to refuse her uncle, but her uncle gave one mirage of horror after the next. Floods, tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes taking down houses, animals that she loved were flying in the sky and landing on a thud on the ground. And her uncle gave her one mirage after the next of horror. And he said, "Your mother will never come for you. You should be my wife. You'll marry me yet." And Persephone was lamenting, crying, going, "What is this place?" I arrived. Another being from the underworld must eat, Persephone. You must eat, my dear. Just have some pomegranate seeds. And Persephone said, "No, I can't eat. It's so sickening here." And he said, "No, just this will make you feel better. Have these pomegranate seeds." And Persephone ate three. Then she ate three more of the pomegranate seeds. And Pluto said, "Now you're my wife. You have eaten of the underworld." Mm. And Persephone wailed and she cried and she breathed, but she became his wife. She had sex with her uncle. And she thought that that was truly her fate, but her mother in the upper world would not give up on her. She remembered her, and she demanded by making the upper world cold that Persephone be released wherever she is in whatever nightmare that I cannot find her. I want her released. And all the humans of the earth said, "Oh my gosh, the gods, please, please, please find Persephone and restore her to her mother. We're all dying." So Zeus said to his brother, "Hades, you'll have to release Persephone. All of humanity is dying now because Demeter has made the world cold." And so Hades said, "But she is my wife. She ate of the underworld. She ate the pomegranate seeds." And Zeus said, "No, but she only ate six seeds. So 6 months of the year, she will be with you as your wife. And 6 months of the year, she will come back up into the upper world and she will be with her mother again." And the story of this is our seasons, but the story of this is also the story of the processional age. Mm. The processional age is also upon us right now. So if we think of a much longer cycle than just the Saturn and Pluto cycle, 12,900 years ago, we had an extinction on this planet. And right now, humanity is at that same processional point of the full procession. Mm. And we as humanity will make our choice right now. We'll make our choice if we choose to become conscious and release ourselves from that extinction, then we will be able to come back up into the upper world and meet the mother again. Mm-hmm. Because all of this was chosen by us. It is chosen again and again as our descent. Like Persephone, she is the great goddess herself, but she chose this introduction to know the deepest of the dark. Mm-hmm. And if you know the tarot card, which perhaps you do, if you know the Cathars, they taught from the tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
Persephone is the high priestess because she knew the fullest extent mm-hmm. of the darkest of the dark and was able to rise with all that knowledge, that depth psychology, the deepest, darkest, most abandoned being who is left with her abductor. She created that story for her to reach into the depth psychology and then to return as the high priestess with that depth psychology to the great mother herself. And if we as humanity can see that we wrote this story, just like Persephone wrote this story, because she is the original goddess who let Pluto for a short time play out this destructive role so that she would know the fullest extent of Creator's mind in the inner world. So I would say that during this station that Venus is making right now, not only will we get Inanna's descent, but Persephone is exactly conjunct Neptune today, square, which is the crisis of both of the goddesses in their deep descent. So it is quite possible that over the next 40 days to a year, perhaps even longer, while this archetypal destruction of the old structures happen, we will all know the deepest, deepest descent.
Mm.
But humanity, do not lose hope, because we are the writers of this story and we will write the ending.
I want to leave it just there, just hanging. Those listening, those watching, once we've disappeared, more will come. This is how I've always found Lalita. Her voice and her message is a swinging open door. Dream on this. Take this to bed with you. Let it reflect and unravel. Everything you need to know about her is going to be found in the little text box down below. Her videos, her website, where you can find her. Thank you so much for bringing that to life.
Thank you, Anaya. I'll be dreaming with you.
Yes, yes.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.